It's good to see all of you again and to be with you and to be able to share in this worship service with you today. Today, as has already been mentioned, in our country at least, is Father's Day. I thought about having the grandfather with the sweetest grandchildren to stand. But that's not necessary. He's already standing. But I'm glad. Okay, Mark. It's so good to see all of you and to be with you. One day, a 17-year-old boy came to his father and asked his father for permission to use the family automobile Friday night. He said, "Dad, we're going to the movie with another couple." And the father consented. And the boy, to further assure his dad, said, "I'll be real careful driving, and we will be home at 11 o'clock p.m. About 11 o'clock p.m., the dad heard the phone ring. The voice on the other end of the line said, "This is the nurse from the emergency room at the hospital, and I'm calling you to tell you that one of your relatives has been injured in an automobile accident." The dad said, "Tell my son I will be there within a few minutes." The nurse said, "It's not your son, it's your father." He hung the phone up and turned to his wife and he said, "Honey, we're worrying about the wrong generation. I think that statement has substance. We have an increasing number year by year in our good nation of families who do not have a father in the family. To those of you who are in the process of rearing children and those of you who have already done so, you know how devastating that can be. Abraham was a great man of God. He gave to Abraham and Sarah a son by the name of Isaac for the same reason that every father and mother have a son. To rear him and to bring him up spiritually, so that when the time comes for him to return to the dust of the earth, that he is prepared to go back to God in his spiritual innocence, just as he was given to them at birth." That's a great charge to every father in this audience this morning. To help keep our children pure, to be a father to them in all of the ways of life, because for our children and for you as a father, life is a journey. And one day that journey will end. And when that journey ends, where our children spend eternity will in large measure be determined by what we did or what we did not do as parents. I know some young Christian fathers in the kingdom of God who have refused to take a job, a certain job, and some who have refused to take a promotion in their company because it would take too much of their time away from their responsibility as a father. I applaud that great attitude. Very unusual, I know. But I say again, I applaud that spirit. In the text that was read a few moments ago from Genesis 18, God knew Abraham. And he said, I know Abraham well enough to know that he will rear his children and those in his household three things. Number one, in the way of the Lord. Number two, he said, in righteousness, that is, in right living. And number three, to be just. You know, justice and fairness are very important in life. And God not only knew Abraham would do that, but Dad, it's equally important that Abraham knew God. When God knows the Father with confidence, and the Father knows God with confidence that you will do what God wants you to do in your capacity as a father, it will go well. And so as a father today, I salute you, but at the same time, I also challenge you. I never knew my father. And when I preached out on the plains of Texas, I went back to the community in Dawson County where I was born to preach a meeting. One of the elders in that church was a man named Jess Billingsley. And one day in the meeting he said, Gene, do you want me to take you out and show you where you were born? And I said, I do. And so he showed me where I was born, and then he said, I farmed the land on this side of the road, and your dad farmed the land on this side of the road. The question had to come out of my heart. I said, Brother Billingsley, was my father a Christian? He choked up. And I did too. He said, Gene, Bill, my father, was the best friend I ever had in life. And I'll just leave it to God to be the judge about whether or not your father was a Christian. But I want you to ask that question or answer that question. Dad, if your children ask the question, is my father a Christian? What would the answer be? How would you answer that, Dad? If your children ask that question and you can count on it, they are to themselves and maybe to others are answering or asking that question. Abraham not only did what God wanted him to do, to be just and train his children in righteousness and to follow the Lord, but Abraham was an example of that. You know too well the story in Genesis 22, where Abraham took his son Isaac to Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice. Had everything necessary except the lamb, as the boy saw it. And he asked, "Where's the lamb?" And Father Abraham said, "God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide." Do you think Isaac, as long as he lived, though a lad when it happened, ever forgot that experience? Don't you know that what happened on that occasion lived in the heart of Isaac as long as he lived? It is so important, Dad, in the training of our children and bringing them up to know God, to never close the door. Never close the door on your children. It seems like a very innocent scripture. When Absalom came back to Jerusalem and stayed there 2 years and didn't even speak to his daddy, or his daddy wouldn't speak to him, somebody had a closed mind, and it was the dad. And it was a bad experience for both of them. And so, Dad, always keep an open mind. And always be a good example. When I think about an open mind, I'm reminded of the parable that you know well in Luke 15, where the boy came to his father and said, "Give me my portion of the inheritance," and went out and spent it, and he made a fool out of himself. He was flat of his back. But one day in Luke 15, he came to himself. Did you, when you were younger, and do your children whom you are presently rearing, is there some times in their life where it seems like they come to themselves? And the boy came to himself, and what did he think about? He thought about home. He said, "In my father's house is plenty." Plenty of what? In the text, he says, plenty of food. Had servants. But by the demonstration of what the father did, who ran to meet the boy, here was a father who had an open heart, kept the door open, and the boy came home. It's so important, Dad, to be a good example and to keep that door open for your children at all times. One day, a young boy was dying in a hospital. And he saw the doctor talking to his parents. And when the doctor left, the boy said, "Dad, am I going to die?" What a question for a young boy. And the dad said, "The doctor told us everything medically that can be done has been done." And then he said, "Are you afraid to die?" Listen to the boy's answer, Father. He said, "I'm not afraid to die if God is like you." That's an effective father. Quite different from the boy who experienced one day, on a Sunday morning, he said to his mom, "Mom, why is Dad cursing so much this morning?" She said this because we're late for Bible school and he can't find his Bible. Watch your language, Dad. Keep an open heart. If you close that door to your children, bad things will happen. I want you to underline this statement in your mind. You don't need to write it down, but underline this statement. That punishment by parents without a relationship with your children will bring rebellion. Let me say it again. Punishment without a relationship with your children will bring rebellion. As Cleon Lyles used to say about emphatic statements, he said that's true 99 out of 4 times. Let me share with you, or ask myself, and also ask every father in this audience today, some questions. You can know how you're doing as a dad by answering the questions that I want us to look at for just a moment. Number one, is God real to your children? Is God real to your children? Do they have a personal relationship with Him? Have you taught your children to know God or to just know about God? A boy came to his dad one day, he was 12 years of age, and he said, "Dad, I think I'm ready to become a Christian." And his dad said, "Your mother and I have been talking about that, and we have been observing your spiritual life, and we think you're ready to become a Christian too." The next day, the boy was baptized. Do your children know God and have a personal relationship with Him, or do they just know what you have told them? In the 60 plus years that I've been preaching, I couldn't count the number of times I have gone to parents who have children 16 to 18 years of age and say to them, "Do you think John or Mary is ready to become a Christian?" And I got this answer: "Gene, I don't have the slightest idea. I don't know. Talk to him and find out." It's not the way it's supposed to be. Father, you monitor your children's spiritual life as you go along in life. Question number two, Dad, is the Bible real to your children? Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereof according to his word. Psalm 119. You remember well that passage in Ecclesiastes 12:1, where Solomon said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, and the years draw nigh when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them." That word, remember, is far deeper and richer in meaning than just saying, "Yeah, I do remember there's a God out there in the heavens." It's to know Him and to walk with Him and teach them to love Him and to follow Him. And the emphasis is teach them in the days of their youth. Do your children know the Word of God? Number three, who are your children's heroes? It does make a difference. Is it some wild living outcast in society or some famous sports figure who cares nothing at all about Christ and truth? Let me tell you who my hero is in life. He was my high school basketball coach. He was also an elder in the church. And he taught the teenage Bible class when I was a teenage boy at Bowles Home. And I was deeply impressed by his personal interest in me. One day he and his wife, Billy, lost a 5-year-old son named Bobby. I watched them struggle. I saw them exercise their strength that God gave and their faith in God. And when he died in New Brunswick, Texas, I spoke at his funeral and told the story I've just told you. Who are your children's heroes, Dad, that makes a difference? Again, how attentive are your children to other age groups in the church, the older people? Hey, your kids can learn so much from people in this church who have walked with God for a half a century or even less. And they lose a lot if they're not attentive to the strength and the power and the example of the people in the church who are like them. Again, Dad, what kind of friends do your children have? I know you can't pick their friends. You can't pick their spouse for the future. But you can influence the kind of friends you want your children to have. It's important. Because your children influence their peer group, but they're also influenced by their peer group. And so, what kind of friends do your children have, Dad? The last question. Do your children love the church? Or do they just tolerate it? And you can know the answer to that. And Dad, you can see the importance of it because in our great brotherhood, children who graduate from high school in large numbers leave the church. And the basic reason is they were brought to church, and you taught them to go to church. But their hearts were never deeply involved in what the church is in the New Testament and what the church is to be about. And they never became a working part of the church. And so when they graduate from high school and go to college or leave home for whatever reason, they leave the church. But you as their father are the bridge for your children from the time God gives them to you and throughout your life and throughout their life. You are the bridge builder that helps them cross the bridge that they need to cross. And going back to Abraham, where we started this morning as a father. In Hebrews 11, where the Bible talks about the faith of a lot of different people in the Old Testament, it said, Abraham looked for that city whose builder and maker is God. If you pointed your own life, Dad, have you pointed your children in the direction of heaven? And there's another passage in the New Testament that I love so dearly that addresses the reward of being a good Christian father. In Matthew 8, he recorded, many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, a grandfather, with Isaac, a father, and with Jacob, a son and a grandson. Where? In the kingdom of heaven. That should be the aspiration, the goal, and the direction of all of the spiritual energy of your life, to be that bridge builder so that one day you can sit down in heaven with your parents and with your grandparents. Just think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Some of you in this audience have probably read books written by Leroy Brownlow. Leroy Brownlow wrote more books than most people have read. And one day his father came to St. Luke's Hospital in Houston for some very critical surgery. The family gathered. And when the family had spent some time with Brother Brownlow, and as they were leaving, he said, Leroy, I want you to stay a few moments. And he said this to his son, who was a longtime gospel preacher. He said, Leroy, the doctors have said I have a 35% chance of surviving the surgery. He said, if I survive the surgery, I'm going to continue my work as an elder in the church as he had been doing for many years. And he said, if I do not survive the surgery, I want you to take good care of your mother. And I want you to go on and preach the gospel. And he said, Leroy, if I die, I want you to know, and I want your mother to know, everything's fine, everything's okay. Dad, what about you? You're going to die one day. I hope you will be able to say to your children, son, daughter, everything's okay. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to be like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And one day we'll all gather together in that celestial city to know the joys of God throughout all of eternity. If we can help you this morning, if you need to come and if you want to come, we want you to come. And let us help you in prayer. If you've never been baptized into Christ, we hope you will come while we sing and while we wait. Let us sing together.